Blog Talk Radio.
Are you thinking, do you feel cast down? You know you're smart, don't want to be a clown. Stand up, stand up for Jesus, stand up. You wanna be Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. You'll find there's not a battle you and Jesus can't fix. Read it and believe it and you will see God's got the armor for you and me. Stand up.
Stand up, Jesus, stand up.
You wanna be somebody God can depend on? Stand up. Salvation and place it on your head. Ugly thoughts can't get in. Love and joy instead. You want to be somebody God can depend on. Stand up. The breastplate of righteousness protects your heart. The shield of faith stops the devil's dart. The belt of truth holds your weapons in place. You're not gonna slip 'cause you're saved by grace. Now stand up.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, we're continuing in Chapter 13 from the book The Woolly Worm. It was written by Bobby the Lively, a.k.a. Rappin' Granny, a.k.a. Lyrical Lively. This book is being read by the author. If you've missed any of the chapters, you can go to the archives. What is so great about this show is how the author is able to add comments and answer questions. You may not know this, but the songs we are playing to start each show is an original song that Sister Lively wrote, sang, and recorded. Most of these were after she was in her 70s. Wild Bill was asked how he would describe this book. He thinks this is a spiritual self-help book that shares godly principles of what Sister Lively faced in her personal walk with God. The additional flair of looking at nature and the woolly worm. At the end of this reading, just push the number 1 on your phone and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when I place you on the air. Our shows can be downloaded to any smart device or... Whoops. My phone sometimes does not cooperate. Any smart device for free. So share it with your friends. Today would have been Wild Bill's dad's birthday, Jim Lively. Bill was blessed to have someone who taught him to have a great work ethic. He taught if things got hard, you did not quit until the task was accomplished. He was a man of quick wit and full of sarcastic humor, which Bill loved to try to mimic, and he does to this day. His sister Joy was the best at it by far. Poor Mom is not a fan of the sarcasm, even when he was not living for God. Always supported Mom's ministry. He understood modesty and how it fit into applying holiness to how we dressed and presented ourselves as Christians. He was the person that taught Bill how we needed to look at politics beyond soundbite news. He passed from this world having been born of the water and of the Spirit, and he is missed. And now let's hear from our very own Love Talk Mom. How are you tonight?
I am wonderful, and thank you so much. Well, thank you for the program. And just for the privilege of being on here with you and Wild Bill, and but those beautiful words that you just spoke could not have been more received. I may allude to it as we go through the chapter today, but as we go through seasons in our life and we recall, especially after we've lived for the Lord, a period of time we learn the word of foundation is upon him, upon Christ, then you see things as beauty. You don't see things. It's just amazing. And the way that Jim Lively had a very, very strong, manly work ethic, as Wild Bill said, and as you read, but also he wanted me to have, I had the best car, I had the best house, I couldn't have asked for anything better. Any ministry, Tennessee Prison for Women, I was able to go out there for years, my radio ministry worldwide and local in Tennessee, anything, I was supported. And it was just, he couldn't have been more strict, really, you know, even though he wasn't in church. If I wore something that he didn't feel like went along with the Bible or with what I was saying or whatever, he said, "You're not wearing that." It was just so interesting because he wasn't attending services, and somebody would maybe get excited in a church service and they'd be worshiping a lady, and he'd say, "Well, she don't have anything at all in her heart, or she wouldn't be dressed." He had other ways of saying it. I'm sort of toning it down. But anyway, I look back and I know that God put that man for sure in my life because I was one of the most ungodly dressed human beings that ever, ever walked on the face of the earth. And I remember that specifically the day that well, it was a few months. The Lord was really dealing with me about the way I dressed. And you were talking about 50-something, 60 years ago. And I'd get rid of all the clothes that were really, really bad. And then I'd get out of church, and I'd want to buy that kind of clothes again. And so he got... Jim said, you know, you're not going to just put them up somewhere. You're going to find out if you're going to really live for God. He got tired of buying those things. And then it hurt my feelings, but it really, it was such a lesson. And it was, we were in revival, and he had said those words to me. And then I thought, well, I got, they talked about how Saul, they preached about how Saul, Old Testament, had wanted to be, you know, he was supposed to destroy everything, and you know, when he went in for that war, but he said he told Samuel, he said, no, I saved the best, you know, for the Lord, I, you know, whatever, and it cost him to always, he was never, ever, everything left Saul, it was horrible, and then he called a, he was supposed to destroy and eliminate all wizardry and witches, but he saved one. And so anyway, that was a sermon about, you know, how we want to hold on to things. So I had me a pasteboard, I think it was a pasteboard box. Anyway, I had me a container, and I put, you know, it was in revival, so I put all the clothes that, in case I backslid, I'd have them. And I was putting them up on a top shelf in my closet, and as I was putting them up there, and you know, sort of hard to get it up there, the Lord just spoke to my heart in the most beautiful, I don't think I'd ever heard God speak to me like that, and he said, why are you saving those? And the reality hit me like it had never, ever, ever done before. Why was I saving them? Did I not have a made-up mind? Was I lying to God and myself? It was just so real. Went to service that night in, during this revival, and I was had some nervous situations in my life, and the Pentecostal church that I was attending was very spiritual, and they would, if you didn't receive the Holy Ghost, started to make a joke, but I won't do that. Anyway, they did touch you, and you know, they helped you. They prayed, they really prayed diligently for you. And I remember saying, Lord, if you will help me get out of here without hurting anybody's feelings, I promise I will pray when I get home. So, you know, they calmed down, and, you know, it was a wonderful service, and I went home. I entered the bedroom. And I looked around at all the things that I did and wore, and I just, you know, I was weighing everything. And I knelt down, and I just sort of fell over on my face on the floor, and I said, Lord, I can't. I can't. Then what I meant was, I can't give these up. I can't. And I was just pleading with God that I can't. And the Spirit of God, that same beautiful, wasn't like an audible voice, but it said, that's what I've been waiting on you to say. No, you can't. And when he said that, faith flooded my heart. I spoke in tongues for probably at least 2 hours. It was way, way up in the morning. And my life was changed. It was not so much that I couldn't do those things. I did not want to do those things. I did not want to. He changed my want to. I'm talking about Almighty God. And nothing, I don't think, had any greater impression upon Jim was the fact that I did change through the grace and the love of God. And I praise the Lord for that. It's a privilege to know that you're the bride of Christ. I love being married to Jim, but I'm the bride of Christ. I don't want to be a fornicator. I don't want to be anything. I don't want to flirt with the world. I'd want to lust after anything the devil would want to offer me. I want to be that bride that's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know I've talked a long time from the introduction, so I'll be quiet a moment and see if you want to say something, Sister Starla or Wild Bill.
Well, I so appreciate that that testimony. That is awesome. I mean, you know, it's like an onion. You just keep on peeling back the layers and letting us have a glimpse of your life. And it's so inspiring. And I for one, so appreciate it. And it just makes me admire you all the more. And love you so much. And I don't know if I'll be able to.
Go ahead.
But we want you to just share your heart and read that book.
Well, this is a lengthy chapter. I've listened to it on the audio that's on Spotify. And then I read it. And I have... had to have some serious tests run, and so far I've come through all of them, but they were not pleasant, CT scans and those types of things. And even my vision, going through the glaucoma and lately in those tests, and being 82, going on almost 83, and just several things, I was, I had felt very, very poorly, weak, and had other things to do. There were just sort of, you know, we go through a little season. And as I was reading that book and got to the 13th chapter, I thought, wow, is this not exactly what I needed to hear? And that encouraged me, because if it was for me to rehear it and be encouraged and directed, then my desire is for anybody that listens to it, especially on the Blog Talk. I feel like it flows better than, I love it. And I don't know what made y'all use Stand Up for Jesus, but I am thrilled that you did in the first part of it. Now, Lord has given me 60 songs, and then Jordan Hewlett, who is the man that was opening up a studio and is grand at that, put a bunch of them together for me in different arrangements, and especially for the rap. And so we had the clean slate service at our church, and I'm so thankful for Brother and Sister Smith, and they're the pastor and the first lady, and their family, and the church family, and then for sure, Sister Holland, who passed, was in her 80s during the COVID situation. But this is such a privilege. And then to have you and Wild Bill give me this opportunity. And then to bring up the song, Stand Up for Jesus. And very quickly, I want to share that when it came up time for me to get up to do my part, I had chosen this song. I had checked everything, but they had the wrong soundtrack, and I was willing just to, you know, exclude my part. But Sister Tammy Moak, who always comes to my rescue, I don't even know what she did, but she got it on there. And I was going to, Brother Smith was on the platform. We had many speakers, probably 10 speakers. It was very elaborate, very involved with many churches, this Friendship Connection, recovery units. And so when I got up there, I was going to turn to him, and I did. I said, Brother Smith, would you stand up? Well, he was having to get with Sister Casey for the next speaker after me to make, you know, everything sort of got jungled up all there. And, so he didn't hear me times. And it was so wonderful, because by that time, everyone in the congregation was looking at him. And then he realized I was saying stand up. But it made the point. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was doing things that needed to be done. But he wasn't prepared to stand up. And that is the whole thing of the song and about the message. We're in a world right now. We're in this world. It is busy. You can be so busy doing things for the Lord, church work, but nothing will take the place of standing in the presence of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Right away I can say, turn the television off. Get that little whatever it is, if it's an iPad or whatever, out of your face and get into the Word of God. Now it is time to stand up for Jesus. Every part that the Apostle Paul told us to take up in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, we must take it up. We've got whatever it takes. Fiery darts coming from the enemy, hold up faith, the shield of faith. Where do you get faith? From the Word of Almighty God. And then goes on with Ephesians 6, and I'll try my best not to get all my time into this, but to stand up for the Lord, and it means to present yourself ready to represent Him. In Psalms 5 and 5, it says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. You know, being foolish, acting up, all that, we're not going to be able to stand before the Lord. Isaiah 48:8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God, isn't that good? 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand like men, be strong. Put on the whole armor. Why? So that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I just think that is just well worth adding to it. But now we'll go into the 13th chapter of the Woolly Worm. And I have enjoyed my blessing that I got from it today. And I needed it because I have a tendency to go in circles. And I must put a little addendum. Well, it's at the front. I went to the doctor today to get part of this series of things that I'm going through right now. And when I got down to close to where the office was, there was a roadblock. There was all types of construction. And you had to wait. And it was, a little complicated. When I came out, it was complicated. The traffic was backed up way, way, way back. So I thought, that's okay. I know how to go around. I know how to go to the next town, which is not that far, and then come in to Florence another way. Yeah, that was just no problem at all. The problem was that I didn't know that the construction was because of some type of under-the-ground big problem, and it ran all the way into the other town, so that by the time I got there, it was totally blocked off, and the only way home I had was to come back. So I went in a circle, and I thought, well, wow, that fits right in for tonight. I'm going in circles. But you know what? It wasn't that bad because I came back. Now, when I got out of the way and realized I was out of the way, I could have just had a meltdown and whatever, but it just wasn't worth that. And I thought, Lord, you're showing me something in this, that no matter what I go through, what no matter anyone listens goes through, what age, what sickness, whatever, our God is right with us all the time. And we can stand for Him, with Him, and He will with us. So I'm going to begin to read major thing that I noticed today that caused the problem was not the construction. It was not all the cars backed up. The problem was confusion. I didn't know the whole story. I didn't know all of the construction situation. So sometimes when we're in a situation, maybe most of the time, where it seems like it's going in circles, we must remember that God knows the whole story. Keep our eyes upon him. It said in the beginning of the book, blessed are they that go in circles because they shall be called big wheels. I don't know about that, but back in the days before I was married, I was truly going in circles. And since I did that today, I can still claim that. There was a song, and I was, before I got in church, I would go to bars and places like that. And it's amazing, but I went to, it was a pretty rough place, and they were singing a song, Stop the World and Let Me Off. I'm tired of going round and round. And wow, I thought, that's me. That is me. And it just like a light turned on. Now, they call that beer drinking music, and I get out of that. But boy, people that drink or do drugs, they are going in circles, and it's a dead-end circle. I added that little bit in there. But anyway, we do not want to go in circles. It will destroy. It will cause confusion in our life and everyone that is a part of our life. It's tragic of going in a circle and never accomplishing anything. With the things of God, you may feel like you're going in a circle, but if you're earnestly living for God, it will always come out a winner at the finishing line. A Bible illustration, this is a sad story, and I've read this, taught on this so much, and I even got fresh today. We read about the mighty, great Samson. Samson did miraculous things to protect the Israelites. He was just a miracle. But he fell into the trap of lust. Now remember the story when Jesus had fasted 40 days. He's coming out of the wilderness, and Satan uses three topics: the lust of our flesh. Now think about it, all the different kinds of lust: the lust of the flesh, the lust of our eyes, thing we look at. And I'll tell you what, I want to pray, because we've got women my age that are, I don't understand how they can be that deceived. That's not as much lust as it's ignorance. It's just ignorance. And I know this sound, I'll say this over and over, but years and years ago, one of the men, Johnny Carson, I believe it was, he said the greatest thing about getting a gift is getting to unwrap it. And I thought, wow, we need to put that on a poster board something around everywhere. But, and I can't, you know, I wasn't godly when I started out, so I'm not throwing rocks, but it is a word of wisdom. We know that the word wow, W-O-W, wow, that's acronym, a word of wisdom. That's done with love, insight, and from the Word of God. So we understand with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, Satan has, that's his big deal about trying to get us confused and to turn from the only way that works, and that's God's way. So you can read in Judges, the 16th chapter, and in the 21st verse, where his eyes were blinded. After he had given away his story to Delilah, and she had prepared a way for him to be captured by the enemy, they took him and they literally gouged his eyes out. They put him to be a mockery. There was a grinding house where he would have to walk round and round grinding in this prison house. And people could laugh and mock and all of that. But even in that situation, and we do, we fall into things that we have to pay the consequences. That wasn't God's judgment being mean. That was the consequences of his choices. And we will have consequences, even to the part of burning in a hell forever. That's real. And we don't want to go there for sure, because God prepared a way that we would not ever have to do it. So we want to find the narrow gate, the straight gate, the narrow road. But few find it. So what are they doing? Are they going in circles, going on the Broadway? I don't want to do that. I want to get my mind made up and my foot on the rock. So when we fall into the devil's trap, he has the ability to camouflage and make things look like that's what we really want, but it is not. Sin will blind the heart, and you know by now that the heart is the center of your belief system. That kind of blindness puts a person in a prison far worse than one made out of bricks. God had a plan for Samson, even in the fallen condition that his disobedience placed him. He had sinned and turned away from what he knew was right, but he still believed in the power and mercy of God. What does that remind you of? The prodigal son. He remembered the father's house. Samson was a Nazarite, and not cutting his hair was part of the Nazarite vow. So Delilah knew just how to manipulate him to do the very thing that would cause him to lose his strength. And he uses the same methods with us, as we know. In the midst of Samson's pain, being tortured, and this word, think about this, humiliation. Satan loves to humiliate us, to get us in a position that he can mock us and make fun of us. He loves that. And God said, take on the armor. I died so you could have it. The armor is faith. Take it up. It will protect your heart, your soul, your mind, and give you strength in every situation. So he turned. Who? Samson. He turned. He repented. Now here's an interesting thing. If you turn and you keep turning, you're back in the same way that you were before you ever started turning. Turning, repenting, turning means turning 100% to God, to God's plan, to God's word, 100%. Is the woolly worm going in circles? You know Tim of that, but he is absolutely not. Every part of him from when he's that little egg on the leaf, even the leaf, as we've mentioned, is a certain leaf designed by the Lord. God has a design for you and me. You may not rap, you know. I didn't think I would either. But every day we live, when we wake up, we can pray the prayer of Jabez. Lord, I don't want to cause pain or shame. Lord, I want to... you to enlarge my territory in what? In the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in me and in the whole earth is in heaven. There's no circles of confusion. No, God's got it, always has had it, and always will. And we want to go that way. I want to mention that the cocoon that the little woolly worm gets into, or chrysalis, they call it. It's a different pronunciation. The woolly worm, there's like two little glands, and one will secrete a silky substance. And at the same time, he is continually moving in a figure eight. Now, I had all kinds of ideas about that, but I'll let you decide those yourself. He'll wrap himself in this silk, and the silk becomes hardened as it touches the air. Now, I'm going to take this in a positive sense. There's a lot of things when you go down in that water and you willfully get baptized in the name of Jesus. But when you come up, wow, I tell you, you touch the Holy Ghost as you, things are changed. The word chrysalis came from the Greek word chrysos, which means gold. Isn't this beautiful? I like this connection because the Bible teaches we will come forth as gold. Job, of all the people mentioned in the Bible, left us these words in Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Repeatedly in living day to day, the scripture that all things work together for our good can only be claimed if we meet the conditions, the scripture gives. Get it? We meet the conditions that the word, the rules, the statutes, the everything. And if you want to know them all, please read Psalms 119. It is presumptuous to claim this promise if we're not willing to accept the calling of God according to his purpose. I love that book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And I had a great man of God, a great pastor, come to me my over 20 years ago, and with all the kindness that he could and gentleness and spirituality, he told me, he said, Mr. Lively, your sin is presumptuousness. And I thought, how in the world could he apply presumptuous to what I did? I mean, I stood up for what was absolutely right. Well, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We cannot be presumptuous. We must wait on the Lord and obey him in all things. I love that pastor, and I love everything about how God took that, my greatest trial, and made it a blessing for me. Because everything we go through, God knows how to use it for our good. In Romans 8:28, I love it, and I'll say it every time. And we know that all things, even the presumptuousness, even all of the things that happened in my life, they can come together for good. If we what? Love God. If we are called according to his purpose. Memorize that today with it. It is a promise. When we surrender our shattered, broken heart to God, he doesn't just fix it. He creates in us a brand new heart. Listen to this in Ezekiel. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, not a stony heart. Ezekiel 36:26. We can remember the past, but we are not in bondage to it. What is our part in this transaction? Let's read it from the words of Jesus. And stay on the potter's wheel. Let me turn this page. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. They had approached him with laws, hundreds and hundreds of laws. But remember now, Saul was the highest part of the Pharisaical teaching, but he did not recognize what he was doing for a long time when he was persecuting the literal children of God, those that claimed Jesus and understood. So it's not on how many rules and how many laws. No, it's a changed heart and a changed soul and a changed mind. And his was, wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Jesus specifically mentioned the heart, soul, and mind separately. Notice that? He didn't just say all over. He mentioned them separately. We are in many layers. Think of the woolly worm, and we have many compartments in our mind. The Lord not only redeems us, but he makes us whole. I can almost hear someone saying, well, it just isn't working for me. Well, I'd like to say this book is dedicated to you especially. Just look at what all the little caterpillar goes through before he can fly. Now, just think if he said he's out and he looks at this beautiful butterfly and he's still a caterpillar. And he says, well, it just isn't working for me. Oh, yeah. Remember the words in this familiar song by Joel Hemphill. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Is he still working on me? The rest of those words are so beautiful, for we are fashioned by the Master's loving hands. Jesus' provision is for us to be complete in him in all things. I like this thought. The fruit of the Spirit, notice it says the fruit of the Spirit. That's not plural. A cluster of grapes is one, but made up of many grapes. So I'm not saying this to argue. Please listen to the point. The fruit of the Spirit comes forth from the Spirit of God and is manifested through us in different ways. It is God's will for us to enjoy one or two, three, no, all, because the Spirit dwells within us, and it's from him. It's from God. It's because Jesus died, rose again, that we can be filled with the mighty Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. And we can manifest love. That's it. For God so loved. And we can have joy and peace, long-suffering. I get under conviction about long-suffering and peace. Because I do drive, and, you know, we know what we deal with that, don't we? But gentleness, Lord, they're probably needing to get somewhere, and just bless them, Lord, and let everything work out just fine. See how gentle I am? Through the Holy Ghost. Goodness, faith, because there's no law. That's not about laws. That's the manifestation. That's the fruit of God dwelling within us and manifesting himself. But that's Galatians 5:22-23 and a whole lot of Sister Lively. But we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2:10. Listen to this in 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Isn't that beautiful? The woolly worm is just one of thousands of caterpillars. And I didn't have any idea about this until I began to write the book. A flea, they have a cocoon also. I said it, F-L-E-A-S. Yuck. They're gross. They torment everything, people, animals. But they didn't evolve from one to another, not from a flea to a caterpillar, not from some other. There's all kinds of them. They were created. See, we were not created to be murderers and adulterers and all fornicators, idolaters. No, we were not. And we are definitely created to be born again, enter that chrysalis and come out exactly. We will fly. And there's so many comparisons there, but I want to go on to say, we like to say the devil makes us do something, and comedians use that a lot. But we can't really blame the devil because we have a choice. And if we bite and devour one another, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22-23, take heed that we be not consumed one of another. God planned, Satan plots. And remember, when we're born again, we're born of the water and the Spirit, and all as if we had never sinned. I'm filled with God's Spirit, and I have His Word. So we win. Hallelujah, we win. We read the back of the book and the middle and the front, and we win. Christ in me, the chrysalis, Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Here he's saying, my prayer, with all I have, I am travailing that Christ be formed in you. These are some of the things we must remember when we pray for ourselves, our family, prayer meetings, our world, that Christ will be formed in his creation. It is interesting that from the time the woolly worm comes out of the egg, he begins to eat. Oh, we'd go a lot of places with that one, couldn't we? But he eats the rest of the egg, which he came out of when he was hatched. Then he eats the leaf that he is standing on. And then he will continue to eat whatever he finds. He may molt 4 to 6 times. Those are called instars. When he gets too fat for his skin, he gets really uncomfortable. So he comes out of it and then eats it and continues to eat and continues to grow. He isn't going in circles each time. He's going forward. He's growing in his maturity. That is so beautiful. God has created us to be able to break free certain levels of our maturity. We don't always have to stay in one place if we're going forward and we're walking with the Lord. A new level of consecration and revelation happens. It actually happens when we are faithful to live for God. Sometimes I face a test. This is sort of amusing, but I thought I'd already passed it. And then all of a sudden I find out I need to grow. I need to shed some weights. Not just weights on my body. I'm talking about the weights and sins that so easily beset us. Old habits, they're hard to change. Life and death is in the tongue. And in the love of God, I might say something that could really hurt someone or cause them to stumble. Have you ever thought about what a habit is? A regularly repeated behavior pattern. It's an action or pattern of behavior that is repeated so often that it actually becomes typical of somebody or myself, although he or she may be unaware of it. And I have came through those times in my life. And I've had people that love me sometimes point it out and people that didn't love me point it out. So we don't want people to see us by our actions a way that would be a stumbling block to them, stumbling block to someone else. So we want to feed the spiritual man and starve all of the fleshly appetites. We will establish victory. I have counseled through the years, talked with people, and I'm so thankful that immediately I was invited to a church. And the Lord worked out for me to work in that church, and television was just not going to be any part of their church. It just wasn't. It was forbidden. And I didn't know that I could actually take it out of my life. It was so much a part of my life. And then I learned that if I would seek God about something and he would show me, not you show me, but he would show me in his word, then it would be a whole different setup. I wouldn't want to do it anymore. And there were so many scriptures about don't set those things in front of you. I thought, well, that couldn't fit the television anymore in the world. And then when I did give that time to the Lord, I reaped benefits that I didn't even know were in store for me. So now we're back to choices. We desire to grow physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We can suffer from spiritual malnutrition as well, just like we know about physical malnutrition. If we feed on the wrong things, we will fail to grow in a healthy way. Mr. Woolley has his favorite kinds of food. He eats what tastes good. And one article said that he eats, now listen to this, some of the plants he will choose are like a medicine for him. So we are created with the ability to choose right from wrong. The Christian is to feed on what? The Word of God. And to grow from faith to faith. As newborn babes, now listen, newborn babes. We're not born, you know, without growing to be done. But anyway, let me read it. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. For Peter to put that in those words is so descriptive and so easy for us to see. We know how children desire a passy or their food or nursing or whatever. Let's do that for the milk of the Word of God. Not like, well, I've got to read my 3 chapters, what I'm mother, this one. No. Desire it so that it flows through us and nurtures us and we grow in Him. Once in a while, when we are busily getting something done, we fail to get all of the information we need before we start. I wanted to leave that paragraph out because it seems like it convicts me a little bit. You know, like when you try to put a piece of furniture together without reading the instructions, try to read it quickly. But it was a true story, and it's you want to ask a question, well, who was really at fault? And, you know, well, who was going in circles? But anyway, this lady was working in a school, and the children were dressing, and so she wanted to help. And so she was in, they lived in Texas, and the little boy was a kindergarten student, going to put on his cowboy boots. And he couldn't do it, so he asked for help, and she could sure see why. Even with her pulling and him pushing, the little boots just didn't want to go on. By the time they got the second boot on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost cried when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool, though, as together they worked to get the boots back on. This time on the right, he then announced, "These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so sooner?" She wanted to, but she didn't. Once again, she struggled to help him pull the boots off. And as she got the last one off, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." Huh. She didn't know if she should laugh, cry. But she mustered up what grace that she could. And she had courage. And she wrestled the boots on his feet again. Helping him into his coat, she asked, "Now, where are your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." I hope y'all found that funny. I found it extremely funny. I related it to a few situations in raising my children. Have you ever prayed for patience? The above story reminds me of the process. It doesn't come the way we expect it to. The Apostle Paul explained in the book of Romans, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." Now, this is a real twist. And I got something from it I've never gotten before. I love the way God does that with his word. I'm going to read it again. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Romans 5:3. Okay, that's the recipe. But how do we glory in tribulation? I mean, just, yeah. Our answer is in the verse preceding. Verse 3 says, "By whom also we have access by faith into his grace." And I'm about to cry. That's in Romans 5 and 2. Yes, it is by grace wherein we stand, and that's why we glory. Because each thing we go through, everything reveals the love of God and His grace and power. It reveals it to us, and it cannot be taken away. And it seems like that's the only process that does it. So we glory in that. It is by grace wherein you stand. And we realize, Lord, you saved me. I remember it was a trial, it was tribulation, but I remember the grace that you showed me and how you were there. And you never let me down, and you made it all work for my good. And I'm going to praise you for a while, Lord. I may even start singing some songs about amazing grace and take time, even write a book about it. One step at a time, one stage of the process at a time. That's Woolly Worm's advice. Can you believe that Mr. Woolly actually has his old skin for a meal? Yuck. It is hard and bitter tasting. Or maybe it's sweet. All we know for sure is that it is dead. So when we grow in the Lord, we leave the past behind. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13 and 14. There's so much more in that than just what it actually says, because He is such a loving, such a wonderful God. And we're going to press toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Victory over our past becomes what? Our testimony in the life we now live for Christ. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God, Galatians 2:19. Give praise to God for His deliverance and the great change that takes place because of Calvary. As we expand, we are clothed in the righteousness of God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, all of the weights, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. These things beset us, so let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12 and 1, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4 and 15. Hebrews 2 and 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and it was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Our choices and our habits determine how quickly we move forward. We can stunt our growth by neglecting our quiet time with God. There's many methods that God has given me, and I don't use all of them each time, but they have greatly, the hour that changes the world is my favorite. Help me stay focused and to pray and to allow the Word of God to lead me as I pray. On three separate occasions, I've been greatly privileged to go to the Arctic as a missionary. It was glorious each time. I helped in a school for pastors that came from over 14 islands. I couldn't have enjoyed anything more than the season in that particular season in my life. When I came home, I faced a series of trials, and in just a few months, I realized that because of the sickness, I could possibly die. I felt sick enough to die, and I really wasn't trying to hold on to this side of eternity. Once again, the Lord saw fit to grant me His healing power, and my health returned. The tender love and care that I received from the Jesus Name Tabernacle Church and their congregation, their pastor, their leaders, help nurture me back to health. I will be Pastor Jean Holland, and now Pastor Smith and his beautiful wife, Sister Peggy. They are absolutely called to help, heal, and be a part of every broken life. Our recovery classes, the clean slate services, the open doors for people to receive help, if that's the description of the church that they pastor. Those that are broken and shattered, they know. They know there's only one recipe for that, and they're going to serve it round the clock. Several years ago, before moving from Tennessee, God allowed me to pastor a church, and I was especially blessed to have a Christian school. I used the ACE and the BECA programs, but it would take another whole book or two or three to tell you about those experiences. This really was a season of my life, and wonderful things took place. I wanted to be a pastor, and I love my church, but a series of events happened, and I didn't know how to rise above them. I include, you say, well, you had God, but there's other things you must be aware of. Dealing with men, women, their situations, you may have a great passion to work for God, but there are ways that people's dreams are dashed, and this must be dealt with wisdom and all of the gifts that God gives. Ministry as well as people have distinct seasons. The metamorphosis of Mr. Woolley is obvious. Our change is just as certain, but visible in different ways. My ministry was still, I was going to be there, but it wasn't there for me to be able to be mature enough to really be a pastor. And I'm not saying that I was not consecrated. I had a walk with God. I heard from God, saw great miracles take place, was given credit for people still living for God. They gave, not credit, I don't like that word, but, you know, they did say that the ministry that God used me in was effective. So Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. John 10:27. They hear. When we give the word of God with love, those little sheep hear, and they follow. King David had the ability to lead, but look at all the years that he ran, that he did all kinds of things, but all of it came together through the gifts, and I think one of his greatest was singing to the Lord, worshiping God in song. I have a whole lesson on that. Maybe someday I'll get to share that. But observing the leadership at Jesus Name Tabernacle, especially during the time that I was so physically sick and emotionally down, but it speaks instruction more than or as much as anyone I've ever met. And I don't want to exclude anyone because being privileged to go to Dr. Scheel, to his school, to watch them go through tornadoes, totally destroyed, coming back together. If that won't build something in you, what's that say? That doesn't light your fire, your wood maybe will. But anyway, God's leading me to this church where I attend now has done great things to fulfill my life. And I love everyone here and want to be a blessing while I'm here. The Lord has allowed me to go to jails that I always want to, minister in jails, let's put it that way, and other places. And the rap, it all flows together. It is just a miraculous thing how God has linked my old elderly age and the rap and then all of the other things that have happened in my life to make a ministry. And I love him so much for that. So what I would say is we need to follow Mr. Woolley Worm, his advice and his example. We need to eat and grow. Eat and grow, eat and grow. Now, you know I'm not talking about gaining weight. But as we do these things, the Bible says that it is literally like in Psalms 34:8, taste and see. See what? Taste what? The Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Isn't that beautiful? Psalms 19 and 9. That's talking about what we receive from our God, his word. So as we go on through the different parts in Romans 2 and 7, it says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. Okay, we are seeking. We're going forward. We want to patiently continue to do things well, to seek for the glory, honor, and immortality that comes with God throughout all eternity. When the caterpillar gets ready to form the cocoon, he does many amazing things. The silky substance that the woolly worm secretes to make the cocoon can also be used to attach it to a safe place. So, sheltered. When things, it protects it from winds and storms and other things. The woolly worm knows that he needs a place, so he will not be vulnerable during his time in the cocoon. Now, we're not completely changed. We're changed in many, many, many ways. But find God's will for the church that you need to be there. You will bring things to them, and they will bring things to you. It's a family. Now, the woolly worm doesn't need all the last, when he sheds the skin, he doesn't need it all because he knows he's going to need it. Now, what I say by that, we're going to remember things in the stage before where we are now. And there's going to be things we still struggle with. I'm not talking about sin, but this helps us to be real. The shell will serve as food, protection, and the beginning of the chrysalis. So we know when to let go and when to hold on. There's my word again. Wow, what an object lesson. So nothing is wasted in the process of our life. The Bible teaches that we can entertain an angel totally unaware. Now, it's getting very, very late, and I can share that and stop, or I can just stop. What would you have me do, Sister Starla and Wildville? And you're muted.
I think I was. I mute myself so you can't hear my whatever or anything. You can go on for maybe 10, 15 more minutes.
Okay. This one particular thing I do really want to share. You know, we can entertain an angel unaware during this sort of that focus about the pastoral and being alone. Just there was a lot of struggle right at that particular season in my life. And so I want to share. And you can be the judge whether this was an angel or not. But it does say, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So that's Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 2. My heartfelt prayer is for those that feel like they are going in circles and possibly feel forsaken. Realize that Jesus never forsakes us. We're never alone. I am including this miraculous testimony and verse that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Psalms 34 and 7. And God has his way of delivering us. Several years ago, during that time I mentioned, I was driving around in my hometown looking for a place to stay. Place? I'd called several people, and it was just closed doors. They were kind, but there was no place. This was a time and a season of trial, and I was displaced. I had a kennel, so I had a chow dog and her puppies and a cute little poodle named Houston, and they were with me. As the day grew into evening, I realized it wasn't likely that anyone would have a place for me and all of my dogs. I had no idea where the next step. I knew nothing. I knew not what to do. I went to a kennel in the town, a very, very nice kennel. So I stood in the front office waiting for someone to come and help me, 20, 25, 30, maybe an hour. No one came. They were open. The lights were all on, but no one came. I was looking out the window back towards the street. To say I felt alone is the understatement of my life. To say I felt in despair, perfect. I felt something all of a sudden, like a very strong suggestion. And it was accompanied with energy and faith. And the suggestion to go to the large motel in town. Now, I'm talking about beautiful, wonderful motel. Really. And I didn't have any more money. I didn't have any money. And I was sure that the dogs would not be allowed under any circumstances. There just was no doubt, but I had no doubt also of what I was feeling from God. So I was to go with the dogs to the fanciest motel in the town. And so I did. I walked in without the dogs, of course, and when I approached the desk, please take my word for this, the man greeted me like I was a great celebrity. Now, I can't describe all the circumstances of what I looked like. I was modest, but it was bad. It was just my word for it. It was bad. So he was very kind and acted like he was so glad that I'd arrived. And he was courteous, and he assured me, oh, the dogs won't be a problem at all. I just went with the flow. He gave me the key to what I would find was a beautiful room. Not only that, it had a large courtyard right surrounding where I would be, connected to my room and fenced. I'm adding that, but it was okay. As I gathered my few things, I was going out to check the room out. A man walked across and he stopped me and said, I want to buy one of your dogs. Wonderful. And sure, I said, which one? No, he didn't want the chow. He wanted the poodle. Talk about a double miracle. If I had kept that little poodle in there with that chow with them puppies, that would have been the last we heard of him or her. I forgot. The stranger asked me, how much would you want for the poodle? I said, I'm asking $220. He told me to wait, and he would be right back. In a few moments, he returned with $220. Now, I'm not saying he's an angel. But he, if he wasn't, he was certainly a messenger from God to get me out of part of my dilemma. I might add that when I called the lady I worked for, told her a little bit about it, she called me back. She said, I have you an apartment. It's free. You can go tomorrow and I have you a full-time job. Blessings began to come my way. Another time, also, there was a place to keep the dogs. Another time, I believe God sent an angel out. During that time, I received a job working in an apartment complex as a night manager. I was working there, and I always have puppies, and I took my little dog out. He got away from me and got between me and the doors leading into where my apartment was. About that time, a car with several men in it, very drunk or on drugs, came around the building and was between me and safety. There was nowhere I could go. They were talking. I could tell by their tones this was dangerous. a woman had been killed just in outside the apartment complex that I believe the night before, the close to that time. And I'm standing there. Man, I know he was 7 foot tall. He was so tall. And I was the apartment manager. I had never seen that man, ever. Now, he could have been visiting. I do not know. He walked up beside that driver, and I don't know what he said. I don't know what. But, I mean, they drove off, and they did not mess around. They were gone. I was looking at him, and he looked over and smiled at me, and I was uncomfortable. I turned, and then I thought, well, I maybe should say something. I turned back, and he was gone. And I was safe. Might not have been an angel, but he sure was a messenger from God. There's so many opportunities when we feel like something is just has reached the end for God to arrive perfectly in that season and bring us closer to him and to others than we've ever been. It's just another leaf in the, turn the page and go on. Speaking of pages, I definitely want to recommend to anybody, men or women, and we do know that great missionaries, men, kept journals, and it was just a wonderful thing, but there's nothing that can keep us focused and give us memories than to even write a journal and have a section on memories, remembering. So now I won't go into a lot of that. Albert Einstein said, try not to become a man of success. Rather become a man of value. Good. I love that. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. I determined to set my focus on values. I mean, I'm combining those two thoughts. How strange to use you only live once as an excuse to throw it away. That was by Bill Copeland. The older I get, the less respect I have for excuses, and I can sure recognize them in myself. Sometimes I, you know, explain to the Lord, I'm going to retire, you know, but no, that's not an excuse. I can still walk. I can still talk. I can still have my broadcast with my wonderful son and his wife. Just thrills me to death. And I'm in one of the busiest churches I have ever attended. All you got to do is just be there and you're going to be busy. So we want to follow the Lord. It makes sense that if God inhabits the praise, now think about it. We're walking with God. We may not be out building our churches or whatever, but God inhabits our praise right now, anytime. That means he's there. He's inhabiting right there. Praise him. Work out all kinds of ways. Use the alphabet. That's my favorite. Some people look at me like, really? You know, whatever. But I love it. I've got all kinds of little songs that I've taught to children, and I do have the rap that helps me praise my God with the Word of God. But listen to the rest of this. If God inhabits our praise, then the devil will inhabit our pity party. Get it? When we start whining and we start having our little pity party, we can look over and there's Satan having him a full meal. But when we start saying, I love you, Jesus, I'm so thankful that you brought me out of that horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, that, you know, I got to slow down, you guys. This is awesome. Okay, so Scripture warns us about the demonic forces that come to us when we begin to say things that are negative, complain about people. Ephesians 6 and 12, we wrestle not against people, flesh and blood, but there are principalities and powers, and there's rulers in the darkness of this world, and there's spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. You think, oh, well, that really sounds, oh, what? No, all you got to do is say the name of Jesus and praise our God, and things will change. This, I want to read the scripture. Then he saith, I will return into my house, just talking about Satan. Oh, he finds it all empty, swept, and garnished. And he goes and he's going to take seven spirits worse than himself. And they're going to come in and that man's going to be worse off than ever. Now read about that in Matthew 12:44. But listen to this. If we will take off all of that griping and white, life and death is in the tongue, and praise God, praise him, tell him how much you love him, thank him for everything he has ever done, and Satan will run like a, I don't know what. But when I went to that, I've told about it before, but we've got the power to take off that old robe and put on the new. Every day that we live, we can put on that armor of God. That's a new robe, the armor of light. Read about it, Colossians 3:10. So there is no weapon formed against us that will overcome us, and no tongue shall rise against us in judgment and condemn us. Condemnation, remember, that's not God. Convictions is God. Read these scriptures, Isaiah 54:17. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness, this is God, is of me, saith the Lord. Oh, I remember I used to have a problem with the breastplate of righteousness, and I thought, yuck, I don't feel very righteous. Righteous? I'm righteous? But I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Because, woo, hallelujah, I'm a brand new creation in him. It's his righteousness. Oh, I love that. So we don't always comprehend the spirit world. We don't want to reach out to it. We don't want any kind of witchcraft, new age, anything like that. Rebuke it. Plead the blood over it. Read the word over it. And do not let it put fear. There's one thing you want to fear, and that doesn't mean scary or spooky. It means reverence and faith to fear our God. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I'm going to wear a shining crown. Finishing line, here I come. Say it with me. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. Because by the grace of God, I'm going to wear a shining crown. Finishing line, here I come. When we look at God's heroes all the way through the Bible, we realize that they knew that every day, this is the day the Lord has made. I love the song, If You'd Known Me. I used to sing it when I evangelized. If you had known me before I knew him, you'd understand why I love him. I was an old rejected relic on the auction block. They decided to throw me away. The auctioneer said, who will take her? The room was quiet and still. Till Jesus stepped forward and he said, I will. If you had known me before I knew him, you'd understand why I love him. Oh, I love that. I love it. Let's don't go in circles. We know stories of people that were lost in blizzards and they just kept going in the same tracks. And later they were found. They died thinking they had found maybe an easier way. Let's don't follow somebody else's tracks or our own. Let's be that first chapter that I quoted a while ago. And then read Psalms 119 over and over. The Psalms tells us, blessed is the man that walketh in God, in his word, and in his leading. Ooh, that is so good. So there are many, many lessons. And I will say that I will read Exodus 13:17-18. It came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. God led them in a way that they could mirror to go the other way. But they would have been horrified at that point and maybe even been destroyed and certainly ran back to Egypt. Now think of yourself and myself. God is leading us. And yes, there's going to be things that we're to do. God led the people into the wilderness through the Red Sea. And there were things they were to do. God fed them, took care of them, but still, the faith was not there. Only two men, Joshua and Caleb. Oh, read the story of these wonderful leaders. You can be a Joshua. You can be a Caleb. You can be whatever God planned for you to be. And that applies to me for sure. I can stand up for Jesus. Like I said, Moses, we hear about him, but Amram was his father. Jochebed was his mother. They were not going to back down. They stood up against all of the pressure that could possibly be thrown them. And because of that, Moses lived to lead the children of Israel. So we've got something, some calling on our life. God will. He will. Others will be able to witness in us the power of God and know him through our life and our testimony. There's a few other things, but I think it's time that I close this, and would want you to know in Deuteronomy 2 and 3, we hear Moses saying, "You have compassed this mountain long enough. If something has pushed you down and made you fall and discouraged you from obeying God, listen to those words. No, you've gone around that mountain long enough. Stand up. No more circles." Lord, I thank you for this time and all of the scriptures, and I ask God that you bless it and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
It's wonderful. I enjoyed it.
That's a long
I'm going
to listen,
to...
though. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
That was a long time for y'all to have to listen to me.
Oh, I thought it
hour
was,
and a half.
I thought it was very good.
Oh, I loved it. I've benefited so much, Sister Starla, because of the season I'm in now. This has encouraged me all over again. Thank you.
Well, Bill?
I'm just sitting here just blown away. I hated that you stopped, but you still had more you needed to cover there. But, we heard a preacher this last week, and part of what you said is part of what he was preaching on. And we all, part of life, it don't matter if you're living for God or not, you're going to suffer loss. You're going to have failures. You're going to have hurts, disappointments. You're going to have people let you down. It's part of life. And one of the hardest things, I think, for people to realize, and this preacher was talking about this, why do I got cancer? I pay my tithes, and I work in ministry, and I'm working in three different churches, and, I got a food pantry going on, and, Lord, I don't really have time for cancer, And then the pain and suffering that goes through the process of chemotherapy and all those things. And we're going to suffer pain in this life. And it was just so beautiful the way he brought it out. And it fits so well with what you were sharing there tonight. These things is that we have to look at is God allowed these things to happen for a reason. And if we can praise him as we go through those things and acknowledge him as we go through these things, then we know if we leave this world, so what? It's graduation day. Or if God chooses to heal and use that as a testimony and to use that as to strengthen us in ways that we didn't know we need strengthening, if it needs to be something that comes in to purify us, we don't know what it is. We don't, and that's what we have to acknowledge, is that God has the answers. And especially in the last 5 years, I've known people that have owned businesses that were living for God and were faithful in tithes and offerings and supporting ministries, that all of a sudden their business is gone. And you try to say, well, where was God? You know, well, God is still being God, and he's still doing God things. And it's like Blog Talk Mom was talking about with traffic. We can sort of have an attitude, which I make a joke out of it sometimes, but whenever someone cuts me off in traffic in a truck, I say things like, Lord, bless them. May you bless them with the fleas from 1,000 camels in their armpits or something like that. And you're like, that's not very nice. You know, but, you know, that's mild compared to some of the things I'd like to do if I could get my hands on them. You know, we all have those tendencies of these things. And the thing he was talking about angels is sometimes if we're living for God and we're walking after him and we're sensitive, God will use us to be an angel. He can send, an angel is a messenger of God. And so it can be a heavenly angel, and God can use us. So we need to be aware that God may put us in a position to go up to this lady that looks like she's just having an awful day. And, you know, she's just, her hair's all messed up. She's dirty from wrestling these dogs around, and it's been raining and everything. And say, so, you know, just go to that woman. And then when you get there, I'll say, God says, buy that dog. You know, he didn't say, you know, hey, can I give you some money? He didn't put it in a situation to make you feel bad, you know, for where you already were at the bottom. You know, the last thing you needed was someone else to make you feel like a charity case. And God has a way of doing things like that to where he can use us and he can send angels. I have seen and heard about it too many times to not believe it with all my heart. And the one other thing where you're talking about the stand-up thing and turning, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but in the military, you can put a soldier up against a wall, and you can tell him right face, left face, and about face, where he's turned completely with the wall to his back. But until he takes a step forward away from that wall, he can still just lean back up against it. He can still just kind of keep it right there in his sphere of influence of what he can go back and pick things up again, like Blog Talk Mom was talking about with clothes and things like that. God wants us to be moving. He wants us to be walking. When he talks about standing, you look at the children of God, the army of God, had a giant down in the valley like, you know, hey, send me your champion. I'll come on down here. They didn't have to do that. They could have sent the whole army down there and attacked him if they wanted to. You know, they could have went over there. They were promised the victory for the battle. And yet they're standing there, and the Bible says they were in full battle array. That means they had their armor on. That means that they, you know, had everything in their formation. Everything was in place. Their weapons were ready. They were prepared for battle. But you got to engage. And that's the thing. Sometimes there's a lot of people standing around at church, and they really admire all the things that the church has and all the outreach programs and stuff. But God's looking for somebody that's going to engage. And that's what David did. He's like, who is this guy cursing my God? You know, I go fighting. You know, it takes sometimes the things to where it doesn't seem like it would fit. But when you stand up for God, you're not going to lose, because you and God, no matter who you are, is always the majority. It's going to be the greatest power to the situation. It's going to be the larger of the armies. It's going to be whatever it is you're facing. Everything else is below God's feet. And when you're fighting with God, he's going to fight the battle, and the victory is assured. But through that process, you're going to have hurts. You're going to have loss. You're going to have situations where you feel like you fail. You're going to have those times to where you can't understand. You're like, God, where are you in this whole thing? But if you have an attitude to where you say, okay, God, I'm going to do this the right way. I'm looking for you to show yourself mighty in this situation. And I saw it with a boss that was giving me a hard time, to where all of a sudden I turned things around and was nice to him. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you could see where it was like heaping coals of fire on his head. He couldn't deal with the fact when I grabbed his hand and hugged him. You know, that wasn't what was expected. That wasn't proper for someone that had been doing something wrong in a place full of men that are usually pretty, you know, base about standing up for themselves. But when you accept it, yes, Lord, this is what you put here for me, and I accept this, Lord, that you are the Almighty God, and you put this in my path. And this is my trial, and this is my test, and this is all the things that I can't comprehend, but I trust you above all else. I lean on you when my own flesh and weakness and things cannot stand against these things. I trust you. I lean on you. And through that, God will always see you through. And when you do that, you talk about growing and sloughing off old skin and being able to eat it to grow stronger. That is what happens in that process. You actually are devouring the old you, and you're growing into something that was much bigger than what you were before spiritually and what you could ever do within yourself. So that's pretty much all I have. I know there's probably some more people got some comments and things, and so I didn't want to take up what little bit of time we had. But we love you, Blog Talk Mom. We thank you for your testimony, your ministry, the example that you live. And we're just so blessed to be able to call you family.
I love you. I love you. You and Starla have really been a blessing in this situation, too. So thank you.
Well, we don't have any other callers with their hand up. So we sure enjoyed it tonight, and thank you so much, Blog Talk Mom. You are such a blessing.
I loved it. I love this. There was one we do want. It's all been said that we want to stand for the Lord. We want to do the right thing. And David, as I mentioned, I love him, everything about David's life. When he faced the giant, it wasn't about David. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And in Psalms 3:3, he wrote this, but you, O Lord, you're a shield for me. You're my glory. And you are the lifter up of mine head. So cancer, so many things with COVID, so much that we face. But Lord, you're the lifter up of our head. And we're going to believe that. And those giants have got to come down in Jesus' name. So I will cease on that and look forward to everything, but especially get to do chapter 14 next week. Thank you.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Well, we want to thank our listeners for being with us each week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.